Well, it is done. It is in the books, and the 2017 Players' Championship belongs to an almost 22-year-old South Korean, Si-Woo Kim, gets it done. Congratulations to him as he holds off the likes of Ian Poulter, Louis Oosthuizen, and others, and wins this Players' Championship, the biggest win, obviously, of his career, of his life. A life-altering moment for him on Championship Sunday. Welcome in. It is GNN Live on Golf News Net. I'm TJ Reeves. He is the owner, the operator, the lead writer of Golf News Net. He is Ryan Ballingy. Good to talk to you. We want to say up front, happy Mother's Day to all the moms. Thank you for putting up with all of us playing and watching golf for all these years. Moms, wives, grandmas, and everybody that puts up with us. So, Ryan, good to have you on this Mother's Day. And another international player has won the Players' Championship in Korean, Si-Woo Kim. As we welcome you in, your thoughts on his Championship Sunday win?
He was remarkable. Looked like a guy who wasn't 21 years old. Looked like a guy who was about to hit his prime in his late 20s and early 30s. He didn't really have it. I mean, he didn't play spectacular golf. Didn't even hit half the greens in regulation. But played a bogey-free round of 69. And at no point did it seem like he was... He felt nervous or under assault or threatened by anybody chasing him, and made it look pretty routine, pretty frankly. It was pretty brilliant.
Yeah, he played very solid golf, did Kim, and nursed basically a two-shot lead the entire way down the stretch, and ends up at the end of all of this with the biggest victory, as I mentioned, of his life. All right, so I'm going to give you some credit, because when we left Sawgrass, you and I, on Thursday evening in the post-round aftermath, you said, I don't believe out of Kyle Stanley and J.B. Holmes and Louis Oosthuizen that those guys are going to contend. You can't see me now because we're not together anymore, but I'm bowing to you. Those three guys never put anything together on Sunday. Quite surprisingly, Stanley and Holmes, you know it's bad in the television coverage when they're not even showing the guys in the final group down the final few holes of a championship event like this. What happened to the three names that were up around the top of the leaderboard that never challenged between the three of them? Oosthuizen 73. I'm looking down the list here. Stanley 75, and J.B. Holmes just fell apart, putting two balls in the water on 17 and was never anywhere close to continuing. What happened to those three guys? Ryan, what did you see?
I mean, Holmes isn't really known as a closer. Kyle Stanley's a one-time PGA Tour winner, and that win came after being really a redemption story after falling apart a couple weeks prior and at Torrey Pines, handing it over to Brant Snedeker 5 years ago. So Oosthuizen is not necessarily the best closer in the universe, and that wasn't really a total knock on him. I just didn't think he really had it this week. He seemed to play pretty okay in the first two rounds, but then yesterday, 73. Again, another 73 today, so a two-over weekend when you really need to hang around 300 or 400 par for the weekend to win this championship in May, and just didn't have it. And for Holmes, I think it just kind of stockpiled. I mean, after getting some bad mo early in the round, he was just kind of in a mopey mood, and I think that just kind of added up for him over a while. He shot 84 today, which is tied for the worst round of the week. That's tied for the worst round of the week. Two other guys shot 84. Scott Piercy shot 84 to miss the cut. Harris English opened with 84, obviously missed the cut. So that's pretty remarkable for your 54-hole co-leader to shoot the worst round of the week. That's pretty astounding.
As you said, mopey golf, especially when he bogeyed 14 and 15, which basically took any chance away that he was going to be able to put something together on the finishing holes, and then made the 8 on the par 3 17th. He was really having problems on the back nine Saturday, wayward with some drives, escaped from trouble two or three times, and then it did come unraveled. I want to go back to Oosthuizen, who really in both the third and the fourth round failed to put any spectacular golf together. I really thought he would be the guy when it was all said and done that would take hold of this, that would win this thing, and yet it eluded him. What was his undoing over the course of the last 2 days, Oosthuizen, that he didn't really challenge again? 73 for him. He was in the second-to-last group with Kim. He only shoots 73 today. What was his undoing after he played so well in the first 2 days to not get it done on Championship Sunday at the Players?
I mean, that just tends to happen a lot in golf tournaments where you play a good round, you play two good rounds, you get yourself into contention, and things change. I mean, things just change on the weekend. You know, a golf tournament is different on weekends. You know, it's not, the conditions are a little bit more difficult. The course gets harder. The field gets a little bit tighter. The shot means a little bit more each and every time. And Ustinov's kind of a laid back guy for the most part. I mean, he tends to win in blowouts. If you think about it, I mean, he won his major by a zillion. And if you look at his basically 10 career wins, they're all by a lot of shots. He doesn't win close ones. And so I don't know if that's his demeanor. I don't know if that's his attitude toward golf, that he feels most engaged, or maybe not most engaged, but most at ease with a huge lead. There are some guys who are just the opposite. They want a pressure cooker to be able to win. So I think that for Oosthuizen, as it got tighter, he kind of pulled back a little bit. And not that he didn't try to win or wasn't interested in winning, but it just kind of got to him a little bit more than maybe he would prefer to have to face down the stretch of a tournament like this.
Voice of Ryan Ballinger again from Golf News Net. I'm TJ Reeves. It's GNN Live. We are recapping the final round of the 2017 Players' Championship. The 44th playing of the Players goes to South Korean Si-Woo Kim, the youngest player to ever win this event, 21 years, 11 months. He will turn 22 in mid-June. He betters Adam Scott, who was just over the age of 22 back in 2004 when he won this event. I mentioned another international player, another non-American in the last decade. That is seven non-Americans now that have won the Players' Championship, going all the way back to Sergio Garcia in 2008. That started a string of four consecutive international players winning, and now Kim is the latest one. More on him as we go along. Let's talk about Ian Poulter while we have a second. Love him for a lot of different reasons. Flamboyant, a great antagonist against the United States in the Ryder Cup, a clutch putter all the time in the Ryder Cup. Big knock on him. He's never won a stroke play event in the United States, has a world match play event in the United States, has some worldwide wins. Now 41 years old, has battled some injuries, has really fallen off of contention. If you're a hardcore golf fan, you know he's been in jeopardy of losing his PGA Tour card. So we'll get into that part of it here in a second. But Poulter was right there with the opportunity to win, did not do it. Ryan, real quick, your thoughts on him having a chance to win and not being able to put the pressure, much less tie Kim or maybe overtake him at the end of this Players' Championship.
There's definitely going to be some criticism leveled at him for the way he played 17. He certainly didn't try to fire at the pin, fired at the middle of the green. That's kind of his MO to playing the hole. He knew he was several back. He knew he needed to make a move. And he just chose to try to put that instead on Si-Woo Kim to maybe back up to him a little bit. I know some people will argue with the play and say, okay, well, you're trying to protect second place, or you're trying to protect the money and the points. Obviously, the FedEx Cup points that come along with finishing second, they're major style points. So obviously they're elevated. A second place finish can go a long way to keeping your card. And the charge is going to be, hey, you were playing for second. You weren't playing to win. And maybe that's true. There's nothing wrong with it. That's his choice to play not to win, if that were the case. But I don't think that was it. I think he has a game plan for 17, and he stuck to it. And then on 18, hit a shank, second shot, and pulled off one of the most amazing shots you're ever going to see after taking an unplayable. And you could see he was fired up about it. You could see what it meant to him to hang on and finish T2. So, yeah, it's okay if you want to play for second place in that situation. He's trying to lock up a card for next year after basically legalizing his way, legal-eagling his way into maintaining PGA Tour status. That did mean a lot, and that's okay. You can save a pursuit of a victory for another time. This was a little bit of a surprise, I think, and I'm sure he probably felt the same way about it.
All right, now I'm going to counter you with this, and I love the debates. He's 41. We don't know. We never know in life, in sports, whatever. I don't know that he's ever going to be in a position to win a humongous event like this again. And I understood on 16, to take you back through the chronology, Kim led by two at 10 under on 16, Poulter playing in front of him, chose to lay up, and I didn't have a problem with that. Because I thought in that moment, Ryan, second shot into the par five, he is definitely thinking, don't do something yourself here to blow this. Don't do something, don't put it in the water to end it yourself. So he laid up, he didn't hit it close with the third, he ended up missing the birdie putt. At that moment, when he's walking to the 18th tee, he looks back, he sees that Kim has successfully laid up and is still two in front. If you're trying to win, I think you got to go with that flag. So he's saying to me in that moment, he was protecting his status and the money. And I agree with you. It's the player's choice as to what to do. But I think there is going to be some warranted criticism here. He may never be in that position to try to win a big event again, and he did not go for it. So that just surprised me. I really thought that he would go flag hunting, and if it ends up in the water, it ends up in the water in that instance. He did not. That's my feeling on that as we go back and forth. Again, though, you and I don't play at the highest level. 99.9% of the people that are hearing us on GNN Live are never going to be in that position in a big-time professional golf event. So we have to be very careful on judging, guys. I'm just saying from my point of view, I was surprised. On 17, the 71st hole, he didn't go for the flag and try to put the pressure on Kim in that moment, because once he played for the middle, now Kim can just play conservative on 17 and on 18 and say to Ian Poulter, do something dramatic, do something crazy, because I'm winning, other than that.
Yeah, and I can understand that. And maybe his psychology was, hey, I'm 41. I've been here. I've been in big moments in Ryder Cups and certainly have won around the world. I want to put the pressure on the 21-year-old kid who has missed a zillion cuts in a row this year and pulled this victory pretty much out of nowhere. I mean, he's had a terrible season filled with WDs and missed cuts. Siwoo Kim has. And yeah, he won the Wyndham, but okay, that's fine. But that doesn't really attest to his current form. I'm sure Ian Poulter wasn't thinking, hey, I know he's missed like 7 to 10 cuts and, you know, whatever the figures were. I'm sure he wasn't thinking that, but I'm sure he was thinking, at some point, either one of two things. I'm playing for my card and my money, and I would like those things. Or I'm banking on the fact that this kid is 21, and I've seen a lot of guys come down to 17 in this tournament over the years with a chance to win or with the lead, and they pump two in the water. They pump one in the water on 18, and all of a sudden what looked like a chance to win turns into a T10. And maybe that's what he was banking on. I don't know. I mean, I'll be curious to hear what he has to say after the round when he's asked about it. I'm sure someone will ask him about it. And I'm sure he'll be pretty brutally honest about it. I'm interested to hear that. But if I were in that situation thinking, hey, I just got super lucky to get into this tournament, much less contend in it, maybe I like $1 million and 300-some-odd FedEx Cup points. I'm going to go with that. I'm going to take that instead of worrying about putting two in the water and jeopardizing everything that I just backed into because I have some kind of pride at 41. I want $1 million. That's the end of the story for me.
I like that. That's the voice of Ryan Ballingy. It is Golf News Net, GNN Live, Players Championship post-round show. By the way, our coverage presented by our friends at Popticals Pop-Out Sunglasses. You're going to hear more about Popticals, what they are, those NIDEF golf sunglasses. And Ryan, we're giving away a pair of those NIDEF golf sunglasses. If you are paying attention via social media on the Golf News Net account, on the Popticals Twitter account, you got a chance to win a really cool pair. Pick out your own style, your own color of these NIDEF golf sunglasses from Popticals. Again, Preston Porter will be with us in a few minutes to tell us more about those NIDEF golf sunglasses, but they've got a chance to win a pair of Popticals simply by following Golf News Net on Twitter, following Popticals on Twitter. You have to do both, and then look for the tweet about this show and retweet it. Social media engagement, we are all about it. If you do that, you've got a chance to win for free a pair of outstanding ready-made golf pop-out sunglasses that retail for around $190-$200, depending. So, again, we thank Popticals for being our sponsor this weekend. Another moment here in this segment, just to briefly explain it again, what we're talking about. Poulter was given a real reprieve. He was officially, basically, out of opportunities to play on the tour for 2017 until Brian Gay, the American, who is also on a medical exemption, said to the PGA Tour, you've got your math wrong on the FedEx Cup points and how we're exempt for the medical exemption. It allowed Ian Poulter to continue, and Poulter got into the Players' Championship on a math technicality. And even in his post-round interview with NBC, Ryan, he said once again, thumbs up to Brian Gay for getting me in. I mean, you've covered a lot of golf. I've covered and watched a lot of golf. This is a real improbable, crazy scenario that Poulter was even in the Players' Championship, much less in contention, much less a chance to win it. It's why we love sports. It's why it's the ultimate reality TV. Give me a couple more thoughts on it real quick.
It's a pretty interesting thing here because the PGA Tour changed the way that the FedEx Cup points are distributed this year. For years, they've been distributed a certain way, and there was a difference between how the points were distributed versus how the money was distributed. And you could keep your card either way, finish top 125 in both, one or the other. And so every year you'd have like four or five guys that finish top 125 in money but not points or vice versa, and they keep their cards. So they changed the points this year so that it more reflected the distribution of money. And if you finish worse than 15th place, basically 15th to 62nd place, you don't get as many points this year as you did in previous years. But when the PGA Tour gave their major medical extension to both Brian Gay and Ian Poulter and some other guys, all the guys are pretty much currently on a major medical. They gave them an exemption using the old point system, and they gave them a certain number of events or a certain number of money or points. But then when they changed over the season, they still accounted for these guys' progress against that major medical with the new system that basically gave them less points every time they played. So when the PGA Tour went and looked back at this, they realized, hey, wait a second, both of these guys would have fulfilled the major medical if we had been using the allocation from previous seasons. So they went back and did that. They did a make good, got them both to fulfill a major medical. Brian Gay had already done it, but that also got him into the Players' Championship. And it got Poulter in there as well. So that was a big opportunity for them. And actually, it was kudos to the PGA Tour for recognizing a problem. We actually wrote about this potential problem in February. And I don't know how Brian Gay figured it out. He may have just looked at a spreadsheet and done his own thing, but there's a decent possibility he would have just put into Google that he found our stuff, and that's why Ian Poulter's in this championship and why he is cashing a $1 million check this week.
Again, kudos to Poulter for the way he played. Ultimately, though, it is South Korea's Siwoo Kim. They love their golf in that country. There's obviously a phenomenal following for men's and women's professional golf, and he is a hero tonight at just under 22 years of age in South Korea, having won the Players' Championship. Ryan, stand by. I'm going to come back and get a couple more thoughts on Kim and put a wrap-up on this 2017 Players' Championship in just a few moments. We will pause here on GNN Live in the aftermath of the 44th playing of the Players' Championship. We will continue after these words from our presenting sponsor, Popticals. Find out more about Popticals pop-out sunglasses. Pack small, live big with Popticals. More from them, and then we are back. Stay with us here in the aftermath of a Players' Championship win by Siwoo Kim. We'll continue in a moment. And it is time to tell you more about our presenting sponsor. That is Popticals and our friends with pop-out sunglasses at Popticals. They say pack small, live big at Popticals. And Preston Porter is here, who is the social media and PR manager for Popticals. Great to have you. We're going to talk in a second about a contest that you have to give away. But if they are golfers and they are listening to us, Popticals has a line of golf pop-out sunglasses that they're going to want to know more about, including the NIDEF golf sunglasses that are going to enhance their game. Let's talk a little bit about your product and why, if they are a golfer, they're going to be so interested in this. Tell me more here, Preston.
Sure. So Popticals, let's go over what pop-out sunglasses are. That's usually the first question we get. So typically, when you have sunglasses, they get scratched, they get damaged, because there's no place to put wraparound sunglasses when you're not using them. People keep them on their head, tuck them in their shirt, cup holder, everywhere. They get scratched and damaged. What we have developed is a patented system that has a rail system built right into the frame that allows the curved geometry of a wraparound design to fold into itself, slide together, come back down to a really small size, hence pack small, live big, and that goes in a little hard shell case you can put in your pocket, clip onto your belt, clip right onto your golf bag, and all of a sudden the big clunky glasses that you need and don't need are right there with you.
How about that?
So that's the pop out sunglasses part. And getting back to what you said, we've just partnered with Carl Zeiss Vision, who is a giant in the world of optics. They make scopes, camera lenses. The first pictures on the moon were taken with Zeiss lenses. So excellent company. We were lucky enough to partner with them to do a NIDEF golf lens. So NIDEF is actually made out of nylon as opposed to polycarbonate. And what that does is, first, when you pick them up, they're about 16 to 20% lighter than polycarbonate lenses. So super comfortable on your face, light as a feather. But the game changer of having nylon instead of polycarbonate is they're significantly clearer than polycarbonate. They really have, you'll be able to see every single detail of every single part of the course. And what separates them from our regular NIDEF lenses is, again, working with Carl Zeiss Vision, we developed a purple and a violet tint. And basically that desaturates green as you're looking at the course. Because when your eye is looking at any part of a golf course, your eye is basically overloaded with green light, and you have some trouble differentiating between the different, you know, curves, undulations, all that kind of stuff. So what the tint of the NIDEF golf lenses do is actually desaturates the color and enhances the contrast. So it really ups your game in being able to see all different parts of the course and any details that you otherwise might miss with another pair of sunglasses.
And for the fans that are listening to us, they've got a chance to win a pair of these popticals. They need to check out GNN's website, the Golf News Net, and also check out Poptical's social media as well as GNN's social media for a contest giving away a pair of these NIDEF golf sunglasses for the weekend. They're going to get their hands here in this situation, Preston, on a pair of popticals that retail for between $175 and $200 for free just by listening to us and by checking out GNN and checking out their social media and going to Poptical sites as well.
Yeah, you can go over to popticals.com, browse some of our styles. The NIDEF golf lenses come in 5 different styles, so kind of get the style that fits your face shape. Learn a little bit more about the lens technology and what makes NIDEF golf lenses so special.
So again, you can find out more about Popticals going to popticals.com. Also check out their Facebook page, their social media on Twitter as well at Popticals. And again, we're giving away a pair of these NIDEF golf sunglasses. They will help you with all the contrast and the colors out in the bright sunshine this summer from our presenting sponsor, popticals.com. It's going to be a great weekend at the Players Championship, and we appreciate Preston Porter for being with us. It's going to be an exciting weekend of golf, that's for sure. And we've got more on the way as GNN Live rolls on. Stay with us. And we do continue on after Siwoo Kim has won the 44th playing of the Players' Championship, a 3-shot win as it ends up for Kim, who parred his way in. TJ Reeves, Ryan Ballingy, the owner, the operator, the lead writer of Golf News Net. We are back with you on GNN Live. What is it, Ryan, that they always say about the U.S. Open? Par is a good score. Par a very good score on Sunday at Sawgrass for Siwoo Kim, who parred every hole on the back 9, 9 for 9. No need for birdies, nothing spectacular. Protect the lead and win, and he gets it done. As you made mention in the last segment, he had a previous PGA Tour win last year, the playoff event, the Wyndham Championship. This is obviously the biggest win of his professional life. And another international player claims victory at the Players' Championship. What do you make of 7 international non-American players winning the last 10 of these? Anything to that trend in your mind, Ryan?
That's a good question. I honestly had not considered the trend. Now that you brought it up, I'm kind of mind blown. I mean, we're basically a decade into, you know, this is the 11th time they played this championship in May, and most of those guys who have won have been internationally born players. That wasn't really the case prior. I mean, you had some Aussies do very well. Craig Norman, Steve Elkington twice, Craig Perks, some guys who are not born in this country who have done well in this championship, but never, you know, Nick Price from Zimbabwe, but never really put the thought together that, hey, maybe international guys are starting to dominate this championship. But it's also a flavor of golf. I mean, that's the way the sport is changing. This tournament has gone out of its way to be the strongest, deepest field in golf. You got 48 of the top 50 here. Siwoo Kim is 75th in the world. That's obviously going to improve after this. But the guys that you get in this field, they're international. They're great. And this is the kind of golf course where you want to play a pseudo-major if you're one of those guys, because you get a 5-year PGA Tour exemption. All you have to do is play the best golf of anybody, and you're the winner it's a little bit different than playing a U.S. Open or a PGA or an Open, you know, any of the other major championships. So, and they, you still get all the same rewards, at least as far as the PGA Tour is concerned. So this is, this makes sense a little bit. I mean, it's a little disconcerting if you're an American golf fan and, hey, we're about to go play the President's Cup against Siwoo Kim, but yeah, this is interesting. It's an interesting trend. It's, now that we're 11 years into it, it's kind of not a trend anymore. It's kind of the way it is.
Sure. And in Kim's case, he becomes the second South Korean to win the Players. KJ Choi won it in a playoff in 2011 over David Toms. Again, the three Americans in this trend are Ricky Fowler 2 years ago, Matt Kuchar, and Tiger Woods. But, I mean, Sergio Garcia is one of the guys. Henrik Stenson is one of the guys, along with Martin Keimer recently. Jason Day a year ago, and all different types of players from all over the globe have come in and have captured this Players Championship. One other thing we should make mention of, Kim speaks very little English. I will say this from my own experience, having worked previously, Ryan Ballingy, on PGA Tour Radio and PGAtour.com. I had an occasion, and they were wanting him to do this, where I tried to interview him for PGAtour.com in a post-round interview. His interpreter, his caddy, wanted him to try it. He understood the questions, but he is, even at that time last summer, he's not very comfortable with trying to give answers in English, so it doesn't translate very well for radio and what we are doing on digital radio here with GNN Live to play an interpreter talking for Siwoo Kim, but... again, he pars his way in. What was it? Nick Faldo, at one point in his great career, won an Open championship, the British Open, with 18 consecutive pars on Championship Sunday. Kim didn't have that. He had three birdies on the front, but he parred the last 10 holes, as it turned out, 9 through 18, to get it done and get the victory. Okay, a couple more thoughts. Sergio Garcia put himself into contention with a good Saturday round, never threatened, played poorly. For a lot of Sunday, nobody really made a move. It's certainly not a big name making a move. Again, with the understanding, Ryan, it's hindsight. How surprised were you that there wasn't somebody challenging from three or four shots back and really putting the pressure on the guys at the top of the leaderboard? Were you very surprised by that?
Look at the way the golf course played today. No, not really surprised me. It was really tough out there for Kim to play a bogey-free round today. I mean, that is one of the highest caliber rounds you could have played out there today, especially with everything on the line and what he was facing, kind of the assault to try and get him out of the lead, and he withstood it. And so, I mean, that, as far as I'm concerned, 69 today is like 65. It's that kind of caliber round. And you saw a lot of guys get it into trouble in a hurry. I mean, we talked about J.B. Holmes, 84. That guy's shooting the 80s. We have four rounds in the 80s today. That just not typically happens to Players. I mean, usually 78 is kind of a bad round, but to get into the 80s and worse, that's a pretty big deal. So I just think it was the nature of the golf course. This was the first year with completely redone greens, not a lot of organic matter, meaning nothing really to soften them up, nothing really to absorb water. Even if it had rained, it probably wouldn't have helped that much based on what I've been told from agronomy folks. So it just seemed like this golf course was very majorish. I mean, not so far over the edge like last year where they almost kind of had to apologize for the way that it played. It was right on the edge. It was right on the proper edge. But it's hard to rally four or five strokes ahead going forward, making birdies and eagles, as opposed to trying to wait for Siwoo Kim to come back to you. You kind of needed to meet him halfway, and he never did that. And that's why he's the champion.
Yep, and he does get it done at 10 under par, right around the number where we thought it might be when we didn't get that rain on Saturday. It's a difficult golf course. Again, Ian Poulter and Louis Oosthuizen end up at 7 under when it's all said and done in a tie for second at this 2017 Players Championship. Well, listen, we're coming to the close here of this recap show. I enjoyed being around you for Friday and Saturday at the TPC Sawgrass in Ponte Vedra Beach, Florida, for this Players Championship. We got a chance to see each other. We got a chance to go out and watch some great golf and see it right there firsthand. Give me a thought here now. We head next to the U.S. Open. You will be there at Erin Hills for that to unfold. That's the next major stop. And the intrigue grows on Dustin Johnson being number one in the world, Sergio Garcia having won the Masters, and now a 21, almost 22-year-old South Korean wins the Players Championship. What is your thought as we head towards the rest of the major season real quick as we close it out, Ryan?
I think I still kind of not disregard this week. I mean, this is a very important tournament, and it is a great tournament. But in terms of season story, season momentum, Dustin Johnson finished T12. He found a way to finish T12 after coming out the first 36 and playing like garbage. And he is the best player in the world, and that's not going to change this week. Siwoo Kim, I think we learned, is a guy that, at least at this point in his life, is pretty erratic. A lot of missed cuts, a lot of WDs, but he's going to sprinkle in a win here and there. And as he starts to figure out to win with his worst stuff, he's going to become a guy to become reckoned with in the years to come. And then just some other great kind of undercurrent storylines. I think Poulter saving his season, this could be a turning point in his career, or it could be like David Lim when he finished second in the 2012 PGA Championship and within 3 years was out of golf. Just don't know, but at least it was a great storyline, something great to follow in a tournament that frankly lacks some drama for the final nine holes. But U.S. Open always has drama, always has some intrigue to it from the USGA, from the players, whatever it is. And Aaron Hills is going to be a unique test, a uniquely difficult test. I think it'll be a good one.
And we cannot overstate, they are golf crazy in South Korea. Again, you've got some fame names. Remember Wai Yang beating Tiger Woods very famously in 2009 at Hazeltine in the PGA Championship. We mentioned KJ Choi winning this Players' Championship in 2011. Now, Siwoo Kim is victorious in the 2017 playing of the Players. He wins by 3 shots and gets it done. Ryan, we had a blast covering this thing. We again encourage the fans, our presenting sponsor, Poptical's Pop-Out Sunglasses. They've still got an opportunity until midnight Monday night to follow Golf News Net on Twitter, follow Popticals on Twitter, and then help us promote this post-round show, our recap show. And in doing so, they've got a chance to win a pair of Popticals Nidef golf sunglasses. So we encourage the fans, if they're done listening to us, go, and follow GNN, follow Popticals. They've got a chance to win a really cool pair of pop-out golf sunglasses that they're going to love that retail for around $190, $200, depending. We encourage them to do that. Take advantage of it from our presenting sponsor, right, real quick.
Yeah, free sunglasses. I mean, what are you talking about? You don't want something that's free? You don't like free? These are great sunglasses. They're excellent, really great lenses, perfect hue for helping you read green. So if you're a golfer and someone who loves to have good sun protection, I'm one of those people that needs it when I play golf. These are great sunglasses for you, so please take advantage and engage us on social media.
And we thank again our friends with Popticals for being our presenting sponsor for our coverage from the 2017 Players' Championship. Ryan, I had a blast. Thank you for letting me hang with you. Thank you for letting me hang with you literally at Sawgrass. Hang with you here on Golf News Net Live on GNN Live to recap every round of this Players' Championship. I appreciate it, my friend. It was a lot of fun.
Yeah, we get to do this again in the month from Wisconsin, and we'll get the takes fired up for the U.S. Open. It should be, like I said, fantastic venue. Should be a little bit controversial, so we should have a fantastic second major of the year.
There you go. Dustin Johnson looks to defend, in that case, as the number one player in the world. That'll do it here for Ryan Ballingy. I'm TJ Reeves. Siwoo Kim of South Korea is the 2017 Players' Championship. We have been talking it up all weekend long in the recap mode on Golf News Net and GNN Live. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk to you again soon when we come around on U.S. Open time later this summer on Golf News Net. Bye.